John chapter 13, we'll read verses 4 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 13, verses 4 through 14. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. And let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for this great place. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit's presence is here. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. There are so many hundreds of needs in this room right now. Lord, there's a lost and dying world of millions of people that need you. Please strengthen and encourage and teach us so that we could go out and reach others for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Man and God are different. God and man, we don't think the same. With God, the way to get is to give. But that's not how man thinks. With God, the way up is down. He said, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He said, you lift up somebody else, and then you will be lifted up. Self-exaltation is not God's way. With God, the way to increase is that you decrease. With God, the way to lead is to follow. God and man, we don't think the same. God says, love your enemy. You say, that's just not the way I think. I know. It's the way God thinks, though. God says, follow what you can't see, which is him. So now that humanly, that doesn't make sense to me. That's why he's God and we're human. He said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And then he turns around and says, whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. And you say, that doesn't make sense. It does to God. Giving is more important than receiving, says God. He said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I was studying, and this morning we read from the book of John. This very same story is found in the book of Mark. The story of Jesus Christ and the washing of the feet of the disciples. As I was studying in the book of Mark, I began to realize that if you read at the beginning of the book of Mark, there is not what you call a genealogy there. Now, let me take that word genealogy and make it easy to understand. At the front of the book of Matthew and of Luke and John, what you're going to find is there's at least a little history of the background of the bloodline from which Jesus came. genealogy, meaning the background, the history of the family. Now, in the book of Mark, there is no genealogy. Why? Because in the book of Mark, Mark writes and describes to us Jesus Christ as a servant. And you see, a servant does not need to be of royal blood. A servant doesn't have to have a genealogy. Anybody can be a servant. Now, that genealogy might be proof of pedigree, if you will. Genealogy might be the tracing of a royal bloodline. Now, he is of royal blood, believe me. Joseph was not the father of Jesus Christ. Mary was his mama, but God the Father was the father of Jesus Christ. And when you check that bloodline, that's the purest blood that's ever been shed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But it's a remarkable thing. The historical proof of a bloodline does not show up in the book of Mark. That's where I was studying when I was preparing this morning's sermon. And he's talking about, Mark is describing Jesus Christ as a servant. And what makes that good is the reason that genealogy to us is not important today, because as we describe Christ as a servant, that qualifies you and me. Guess what? Anybody can be a servant. You see, Brother Owens, I can't serve in the church. You know, my mom and dad, I didn't grow up in church. I don't know anything about church. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You can serve, and you don't have to have a background, a royal background. You do not have to have a pedigree in the church. Anybody can serve God. And that's exactly what God is telling us as Mark describes Jesus Christ as a servant. Oh, let me tell you what's happening here in the passage of Scripture that you just read a little bit ago. Jesus and the disciples were in the upper room. It was the night before Jesus Christ was to be crucified. It would not be long until he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he would pray, and he would sweat great drops of blood. Judas, in just a few hours, will betray him. By 9 o'clock the next day, Jesus will be hanging on the cross of Calvary. Now, the whole little story we just read is all about that. And what is happening here? What is going on? What's happening in that upper room? You know, if ever a person had the right to turn his attention to himself, it would be Jesus Christ at this moment. Why? Just in a few hours, they're going to beat him and mock him and torture him and abuse him and pluck out his beard and put a crown of thorns on his head. When he thirsts, they'll give him vinegar and gall to drink. They will humiliate him. They will hit him with a stick. They'll nail him to a cross. Now, it's just a few hours before then. He's meeting with his friends in the upper room. And if anybody in history ever had a right to turn their attention to themselves, it would be Jesus Christ. I mean, look at what he's about to go through. The purest of the pure is about to be humiliated at the hands of the impure. Let me show you, though, what he did just a few hours before crucifixion. And then if you could help me. I'm asking my son to help me this morning. This is my oldest son, Jeff. And Brother Guin, if you'll put that right there. Jeff, won't you take your shoes and your socks off? I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ did just a few hours before his crucifixion. You read the story. You say, what happened? Well, just before Jesus Christ was crucified, he washed the disciples' feet. Jeff, I'm going to ask you to hold that for me. You say, why the washing of the feet? Well, I'll tell you why. You see, in Bible days, they did not wear a shoe or a sock like we do. They would wear a sandal. They would walk all day long. The roads were not paved. The sidewalks were not paved. It was dusty, dirty, and hot. all day long. When they come home from a busy day, their feet would ache. Not like yours do. Far more. They did not have a pad at work that they stood on to absorb the pain of standing. They were hot. Their feet were dry. Their feet were dirty. And at the end of the day, when they would come into the house, it was traditional that they would wash their feet. The only thing is, they did not wash their own feet. They would take a basin, much like this one. They would have gone to the river or to a well, and they would have gotten some water. They would take that water and pour it into the basin. And then the servant of the house would go to the master of the house and would bathe his feet in an effort to comfort him. The whole intent was to wash the feet of the master. Why? They hurt. They were dry. They were dirty. Jesus Christ is about to be crucified. Right before crucifixion, he grabbed a basin of water and he washed the disciples' feet. If any time a man had the right not to look at his other's needs but his own, it seemed like it's now. But he washed his feet, first one, gently dried it, and cleaned the foot, and then the other. What's Jesus doing? What's most important in life? He would dry the second foot. Oh, it was traditional. It happened a lot. But wait a minute. What is the King of Kings doing? What in the world is the Lord of Lords doing? What in the world is going on here? He's about to be crucified. Why in the world would he take the time to do something for someone else? Why in the world would he be concerned about the comfort of somebody that's not about to die? Because that is what life is really all about. Thank you, Jeff. You can have a seat. Brother Young or someone, you can fold that thing up. We're going to put the pulpit back in place. You need to understand something. Our Lord, all the way to the moment of the crucifixion, was concerned that he set an example for you and for me of what we ought to be to this lost and dying world. Nobody in this auditorium is better than Jesus. What did he do? He washed the dirty, stinky, soiled feet of those disciples. He was willing to become a servant and wash his disciples' feet. And what a wonderful example for you and for me. Hey, could any of God's children say that you humbled yourself and went out of your way this week to wash their feet? You say, literally, Brother Owens? No. But who did you go out of your road to serve in the church this week? Hey, what's your excuse for not washing the feet of your Christian brother this week? Too busy? Jesus was just busy running the universe. He was the God-man. That would be too degrading, wouldn't it? You're higher on the social scale than to minimize yourself to serving in some menial task. You have a career. You're a respected person. Were you too caught up in taking care of old number one to take care of everyone else, which was God's intent for your life? Are you too important? Are you too self-centered? You see, Jesus was a foot washer. See, what does that mean? He served others. He served others. Let's not complicate the Christian life, folks. It's still all about somebody other than you. That's really what it's all about. Oh, and the good thing about this is, you say, well, I've not been in the church very long. You've been in the church long enough as of this moment to do what I'm about to teach. That's all it takes. Well, I'm not a blue blood. You don't have to be a blue blood. I think of Josh Bush down here on the front row, a young man serving the Lord with his life. But wait, his daddy sits on the platform. But wait, his daddy sits back here, one of the good deacons of our church. You say, look at that heritage. I mean, you go great-grandpa and grandpa, and here's his son, and then a grandson or a great-grandson. Hey, no wonder they're serving God. Anybody can serve God. That's a wonderful heritage. I'm so pleased they have it. I want it for all of you, but don't make up excuses. There was no genealogy in the book of Mark because Mark was saying Jesus Christ was a servant, and you don't have to have a good past to have a good now when it comes to serving others. It's a funny thing. We get the wrong impression about this thing of serving. I want to talk to you about Jesus, the foot washer, for a little while. Let's see what this little story will tell us. Let me say, first of all, that the washing of the feet showed that he was more concerned with others than himself. John 13:1, it says this, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and when it says he knew his hour was come, that means he knew the crucifixion was just around the corner. He knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He knew he was about to be crucified. And what did he do? He took the time to kneel down very humbly and wash the feet of those people around him. He was more concerned about others than he was himself. His mind was not on himself. His mind was on other people. He could have been depressed. Don't you think? Think about what he's about to go through. He could have been depressed. He could have thrown himself one big, fat, hairy pity party. Honestly, Brother Guin, come up here. Brother Guin, he could have whined, couldn't he? Okay, do you know how to whine? I need a good whine from you. That sounds like a whino. I want you to stand right here. Brother Tennis, he could have, come up here for a second. He could have spent the night weeping for himself. You know how to weep? You've got it. Brother Bush, he could have spent the night pouting. Can you even make a pouting noise? That's it. Super. Fantastic. Oh, man, stay up here. I'm going to need your help. Brother Young, he could have thrown a fit. There you go. Brother Smith, he could have spent the night saying, why me? Why me? Why me? Can you do that?
Why me? Why me?
There you go. Now Jesus, he's about to be crucified. Can you imagine? He could have thrown himself a pity party. You say, what's a pity party? Let me show you what a pity party is. Fellas, hit it.
Why me?
Thank you. You guys do that very well. You laugh. But have you noticed your own attitude lately?
Oh, why me?
Jesus Christ was about to be crucified. By the way, not for what he did.
before what you did. You talk about an injustice in life. He was about to suffer for you and decided, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to be good to everybody else.
He loved others so much, he did not let his coming death stop him from serving. I had a conversation with Mrs. Brinklow, one of our fine ladies. Oh, it's been about a week ago. Mrs. Brinklow is not of good health. Mrs. Brinklow oversees one of our nurseries up here, and she has a walker to help herself get along. Then to get up and down the staircase, because her nursery is upstairs, it is quite a challenge. Every step she were to take, there's pain. She was sitting in my office, and she said this to me, "You know, Brother Owens, I really don't have any right to complain. I shouldn't ever whine." She said, "What I do is I look at Brother Paul Mongan, who has a disease that could kill him at any moment. She said, I look at him and realize how much pain he's in as he keeps on serving God in spite of every negative that's come upon him." And she said, "I decide I'm not going to whine about my plight. There's somebody that's got it tougher in life. I'm not going to waste my life when I see others that hurt more than I do." They go on and serve God anyway. Do you serve God only when things are going your way? Anybody can do that.
You're not a great Christian when everything's going your way and you say, "Well, everything's fine. I think I'll serve God." Who couldn't? Who couldn't? You think you're a great Christian because all your ducks are in a row and everything's turning out just right for you and you say, "I think I'll serve him today." No, it's the days when you can barely get out of bed that you say, "I will still serve God today in spite of the fact that it hurts to do so."
You teenage girls over here, you pay attention right up here. Stop playing around. You pay attention. You need what Brother Owens is teaching you, whether you want to accept it at this moment or not. Look right up this way.
You see, the washing of the feet showed us that Jesus was more concerned with others than with himself. You see, when your finances are not well, do you serve him anyway? When your body is not well, do you keep on going and try to serve others anyway? When your family is not well, do you turn your back on God and everything just to take care of yourself? When employment's not going well, are you praying for someone else's employment? When your business is struggling, did you find someone who's struggling to help?
You know, one of the ways for you to get a blessing from your Heavenly Father is by serving His children, no matter how things are going for you. Hey, senior citizen, watch yourself. When you begin to feel sorry for yourself as old age creeps in and you become self-centered. "Jesus loves me, this I know," is not just a song sung by children. We are all to serve Him, young or old. We're all to serve other people. If you're not careful, senior citizen, you'll find yourself depressed as you think about you. Maybe you need to find someone else to think about. All the terrible, filthy things that are about to happen to Jesus Christ, and what did He do? He said, "I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to help cleanse you. You ache. I care about your ache. Your feet are dry. I'm going to moisturize them. I'm going to get my hands dirty in an effort to help you." I mentioned a name earlier, but I'm going to mention a few names. You know something? It's when things are not going your way and you keep serving that makes you a great Christian. I was thinking of Josh Bush. This week, this young man had four teeth pulled that should have probably been cut out. He did it on Thursday, and by Thursday night, he was out soul winning. Headache, pain. Tell you what, buddy, that's big stuff. That's big stuff. I think of the Bishop family back here. Not many days ago, their little boy Tanner, serious surgery, heart condition, a terrible heart condition. Yesterday, I watched him out here preparing a big project for helping take the roof off, and he's excited about it. That is big league. When you're hurting, you don't pull into yourself and care about you and take care of you, but you say somebody else needs me to do something for them, to care about them. I was thinking of Shanda Everhart this morning. Shanda, she's not been well. She's not felt well. While she continues to cook and bake and to make things for our visitors that come and visit our church, we give them a homemade treat that says, we love you and we want you to come back. That's what it's all about. I'm thinking of Joe Lopez, one of our fine men. Joe struggles with epilepsy, but he cleans our buildings. I'm thinking of Mrs. Hart, who serves in spite of the fact that her husband has the Munchkin's disease. If you don't know Brother Hart, a wee little man is he. Hey, you need his autograph. He starred on The Wizard of Oz. And he wasn't one of the monkeys with the long tail. Hey, what was this washing of the feet all about? What was Jesus Christ doing? He's about to be crucified, and not for himself, but for you and for me. And what does he do? He washes the feet. Why? It was Jesus' signal to you and to me. It was an example. He said, get your eyes off of yourself. Care more about others than you do yourself. Secondly, Jesus, the King of Kings, becomes a servant and washes the feet of others. What was he doing? He was showing us that there is a prominent role in life, and it's servant. It's servant. You know, according to John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Wait a minute. He's the creator of it all. Now, what in the world's he doing? He's saying, I may have created it, but my prominent role is to serve you, to serve you. Man thinks of greatness as being obeyed. God thinks of greatness in obeying. We think of greatness as someone who has people under them, who obeys and people obey them and do exactly what they're told. God thinks of greatness as being obedient and disciplined and the willingness to come under the authority of someone. When man thinks of greatness, he thinks of being served by others. When God thinks of greatness, he thinks of serving others. We think a great man is one who gets the credit. God says a great man is someone who gives the credit. When man thinks of greatness, he thinks of one who receives much. When God thinks of greatness, he thinks of one who gives much. Jesus Christ is about to be crucified. Just a few hours. What will he do? Will he have a nervous breakdown? Will he have a pity party? Will he feel sorry for himself? Will he retract from society and go and run and hide? He says, no, fellas, let me show you what it's really all about. And they take their shoes off and he washes their feet. We have some real servants in our church. I was thinking of my daughter, Charlotta. She's a servant. The other day she came crying to me. She said, Daddy, and I mean she was bawling her eyes out. She said, Daddy, I made you a cake and our dog Pupcake ate it. I said, honey, don't worry. We can get another dog. You know what? The custom of the household in this day was that the servant would come. The lowlife would come and wash the feet because of the sandals and the unpaved roads and sidewalks. It was dirty. Their feet were hot. Jesus became a slave willingly. Now, for some of you, that's beyond you. You will not come under the power of Jesus Christ to serve. You want to run your own life. You want to do your own thing. You will not humble yourself to serve. Jesus chose to wash their feet. What service is too small for you? Sweeping out a church bus? Gassing up the buses? Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, if I could lead something, That always scares me when people have to demand that they're in charge. I'm not looking for leaders, I'm looking for followers, because that is exactly what Jesus Christ is looking for. Watch out for the arrogant person. If I got to be in charge, I got to control something, I got to stand before people. That is not what Jesus Christ was doing. He was kneeling with his hands in a dirty bowl of water, washing the feet of human beings. Who was it? It was royalty washing unrighteousness. What service is too small for you? Pulling weeds around the church?
Well, wonder if my friends in society saw it.
Maybe they would see Jesus in you. Would it be too small of a job for you to come by the church and fold some flyers for a mail out, passing out cookies to Sunday school children, working as an usher, setting up chairs for a Sunday school class, being a traffic director so little boys and girls are safe passing between the church and the gymnasium, emptying the trash in a Sunday school classroom?
Or did you say, "Well, I'll just leave that. That's what janitors are for."
Janitors are royal servants of God. Would you be too small to get on your knees and scrub the washrooms, the commodes?
Well, I'm above that.
Then you're above Jesus. Are you too good to go soul winning, tell others about Jesus Christ?
We'll leave that to the young zealots. I'm one of great knowledge.
I tell you what greatness is. It's Joe Calling and his family waiting till all of you leave on Sunday and being the last people in this church going around putting the songbooks back that you left on the floor and the trash that you left from your candy bar and the mess that you made. They wait until you're all home eating lunch and their entire family goes around this church and cleans and gets ready for the evening service. It's Mrs. Ellen Moore and her family doing the very same thing. When you're all gone, racing to the restaurant, they're here cleaning up after you. That is greatness. What is greatness? It's Mrs. Martin, Brother Gary Martin's wife, coming into this church when none of you know about it and sterilizing the toys for your children in the nursery. You didn't even know about it. She comes in and cleans those toys on a regular basis because I wanted to make sure the toys were clean for your children. We know where kids put the toys in their mouth. She comes in unannounced, very quietly. That's greatness. It's Betty Fuller who will come in here and clean our church building. I see her. She starts down at this end, and she's got one of those little feather dusters, and Betty just comes in. Never gets any credit for it. Never gets any attention for it. Just cleans the building. What is greatness? Greatness is Damien Segura.
Well, so who's he? A deacon?
No.
Who's he? Is he? Is he one of the employees?
No. No. He's a man one day who came to me and said, "I'll do anything to serve God. Anything." I said, "Damien, to be honest, people come by and they throw trash out of their cars along Route 11 out here, and I hate it when I see a beer bottle or a cup or a piece of trash out there. Damien, would you?" He said, "Preacher, I would be honored.
You watch every once in a while, you'll see a fella out there running along with a trash bag, cleaning up the sticks and the leaves and the trash. That is greatness." Greatness is not having people respect you, it is respecting people. Greatness is not having people serve you, it is serving people. Greatness is not having your feet washed.
True greatness is washing feet. I was a 16-year-old boy when I surrendered to go into the ministry. I thank God that the people that trained me explained to me what it's really all about. My job, my goal, and my desire as the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is I want to serve you. I want so desperately to preach to you the Bible so it serves you and that you have a happy, decent life. What is greatness? Greatness is Brother Gabriel Young, who comes in, empties this baptistry on a regular basis, scrubs it out and fills it with water so we have it on a Sunday. Say, who's that? Therein is the greatness. Who's that? Greatness is Brother Chris Yates, who goes around our mausoleum and keeps it tidied up and pulls the weeds out of the gravel and plants the flowers and just makes sure that it's kept. What is greatness? Greatness is Dean Milirons. Where are you at, Brother Milirons? Well, back there doing what he does. Greatness is Dean Milirons, one of our fine Sunday school teachers, who makes sure that on Saturday some of our educable slow men have a ride into prayer meeting. And then he takes them out soul winning. Because if he didn't, who would be associated with them? That is a great man. What is greatness? Greatness is an Aaron Chris that when he gets time at lunch, he'll come by the church and say, I've got my lunch break. What could I do, preacher? Yes, sir. God knows he doesn't need to eat. What is greatness? Greatness is a Dave Lawrence coming in on all his spare time putting labels on your tapes so you can have the preaching of the Word of God. What is greatness? Greatness is two teenage girls spending over 6 hours each scrubbing a bus floor so it was clean so a group of men could go on an activity and it be first class. You see, Jesus was a foot washer. So let me tell you what I want to be in the church. To be honest, you're going to fall flat on your face unless you get what the church is really all about. Well, if I can't have a certain level of influence, I don't want any. Good, because you don't have any. The great influence of life is not what you get out of it, it's what you put into it. You're going to find out. When you get to heaven, everything that you strove for to be in the limelight, it's all going to fade into nothing. And you'll realize that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's a person that got on their knees and scrubbed the toilet down at the church that became great in the eyes of God. Not the one that got their name in print. Not at all. You see, Jesus was a foot washer. The washing of feet showed that he was more concerned for others than he was concerned for himself. Jesus, the King of Kings, becomes a servant and didn't consider himself a second-class citizen by being so. Number three, may I tell you that everybody's feet stink? John 13:7, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. They didn't understand him. They thought maybe he was showing humility, and he was. Maybe they thought he was comforting them, and he was. But I think he's also reminding them, you all do need to keep yourself cleaned up. He was a great servant, but he was a clean servant. He was a clean servant. You want to serve, you need to clean yourself up some. He was saying all Christians that walk in this world need a cleansing. Now, when we get saved, we receive that cleansing. We receive the cleansing of Jesus Christ at salvation. We take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, born again Christian. You are on your way to heaven. That's all signed, sealed, and delivered. You don't lose your salvation. But let me tell you, you can lose the cleanliness that God gives you. You can lose your joy. You can lose your happiness in life by not serving Him. And we every day need to keep our sins confessed. And we need to stay close to Him so we can have a good life while we're down here on this dirty earth. And you need to keep yourself cleaned up so that your communication line with God is open. Psalm 66:18 says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We all need to keep ourselves cleaned up. We all need to keep our sins confessed to our God. Hey, maybe the reason you're not a foot washer, maybe the reason you couldn't tell me of one person in the last week in the church family that you've done a thing for, maybe the reason is maybe because you don't need to associate with them dirty people. you're clean enough. And
those people, they have faults. They're sinners. Pray tell me, what are you?
Right.
What are you? Brother Orange, you want me to go on a bus route with some little snotty-nosed bus kids? Since when is your mucus delightful? You want me to clean a washroom? You use them, don't you? If not, you're one miserable kemosabe. They're just, you know, getting involved with that church stuff. You want me to get involved with a bunch of sinners? What else is there to get involved with? Are you too righteous to serve the unrighteous? Jesus wasn't. If you're saved, there's somebody here today that probably needs to come to this old-fashioned altar and get your heart right with God. Get your spiritual feet washed, straighten up your life so you can do something with it. Are you too good to use this altar?
Well, what would people think?
The truth. You have dirty feet. You've been walking in the world all week long? Come on and wash your feet. You see, Jesus was a foot washer. And in the washing of feet, he was more concerned with others than with himself. In the washing of feet, Jesus, the King of Kings, becomes a servant and doesn't consider himself a second-class citizen. In the washing of the feet, Jesus was saying to us, everybody's feet stink. Everybody needs a washing. Everybody needs a cleansing. You may need to come. Hey, I'll tell you this. If you're not serving other Christians, you need your feet washed because they are dirty with your pride and your arrogance and your busyness and your self-conceit and your self-centered life. If you today have not taken the time to lift up the fallen, if you today have not taken the time to love some poor person that comes to our church or some poor person in the world, you're dirtier than they are. Here you are, a born-again Christian, and no time to serve God. You need a washing, and I'm not talking about from your adultery. I'm not talking about from your alcohol and your booze and your lying and your cheating. I'm talking about from your self-centeredness.
Because Jesus Christ was about to die on the cross at Calvary, and everyone, I'm sure, would have not blamed him had he withdrawn and went and had his pity party. But he said, fellas, take off your shoes. Unlatched the sandals. Peter had a degree of self-righteousness about him.
Oh, no. I know what this is all about.
I wonder if he was afraid he's going to have to do it for someone else. Hey, Christians should serve Christians. Christians should serve Christians. Hey, who is it you're supposed to be serving that's not getting the service due them because of you?
You say, well, I don't get all this. Don't take care of yourself. Take care of somebody else. Give you a happier life. But here's the problem. There's breakdown. Because when you're busy taking care of you instead of somebody else is not getting the attention they want. That's why they don't believe the concept of care for others first. They figure it's not panning out for them. Why? Because of you. Let somebody else, let God take care of my needs. God will use you to take care of the needs of somebody else, and you get your eyes off yourself and take care of somebody else's needs. Somebody's needs are not being met, and it doesn't matter to me. You say, well, I just disagree. You can disagree all you want, but somebody is doing without because of you. You can be an ostrich and put your head in the hole in the sand all you want. We're to serve others. Christians should serve other Christians, the Bible says in 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You say, I would die for someone. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about you dying for someone. It's talking about you living for someone other than yourself. That's what it's talking about. Say, lay down your life. Lay down your concern for self. Lay down taking care of old number one. And do what? Go take care of someone else. Hey, wonder what happens? Well, Paul was a servant to Barnabas, and to Paul become the greatest leader in the New Testament. Check the history of Paul. Where'd he start? Serving others. David was the servant to King Saul until David became the king. Joshua was a servant to Moses until Joshua became the great captain and leader. Elisha was a servant to Elijah until Elisha took over. Billy Sunday was servant to J. Wilbur Chapman until Billy Sunday became the prominent evangelist of the nation. And I'm not talking about a professional humility that says, all right, I'll do my part because it's part of the ladder of success. No, you serve truly because you want to be a servant, not because you want to see what you get out of it. There's a phoniness in this thing. Says, okay, I'll pay my dues. I'll clean the washroom as long as you notice me, Brother Owens. I'll clean the washroom as long as I got a promotion in the future. How about you clean the washroom until Jesus comes back with a good attitude and a good spirit? And you say, if this is what he wants, he's got it, and I'm going to have a happy attitude. I don't have to get anything out of it. He knows your heart. You can fool me. You can fool my staff. You can fool other leaders. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody you can't fool. You say, why can't you fool him? Because he was a true servant. True servant knows a servant when they see one. True loyalty recognizes loyalty when it sees it. I'm not talking about an insincerity. I'm talking about sincere love, duty, and loyalty that recognizes that the servant's position is the greatest. It is the greatest. Do you know something? Washing dishes is not a small task when a wife and a mama is serving her family. Mrs. Owens calls it angel's work. Mowing the yard is not a small task when it's done because you love someone. Cleaning the house, sweeping the floor, whatever it is. Every chance you get to serve other people, you should do it. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to be ministered, and to give his life a ransom for many. Question, what did you do to serve your church family and other Christians in the last week? You say, well, I came to church. I think that was for you, wasn't it? What did you do? Let me explain something. Brother Gewin, you teach in our Christian school. You're an assistant pastor here. You have a Sunday school class of adults. You help us oversee the works of the mausoleum. But never miss it, Brother Rusty. It's not all about what anybody can do for you. It's all about what can you do for them. Brother Tennis, boy, senior staff member here and a man that understands this concept. Brother Tennis, you've been at it a long time. Never lose sight of it. Great man of God. Helps oversee our senior citizen ministry, our soul winning ministries. But Brother Tennis, just always remember this. It's not what they do for you. It's all about what can you do for these people. Brother Smith, our youth director, let me describe your job. Your job is to serve these teenagers. You're their servant. You teach them right because you're their servant. Brother Young, you help me with the men's ministry here at this church. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's all about giving them a bottle of water on a bus ride up to Pennsylvania and serving them. It's all about let's figure out things so our men have a way to fellowship out of the world where they can keep their families together and rear their kids. That's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's about what can you do for them. Brother Bush, you're the assistant pastor of our church and the principal of our school. Let me tell you what it's all about. Brother Bush, you need to serve our teachers. serve our teachers, serve your secretaries. Brother Bush, it's all about serving these moms and dads and giving them a school that can be trusted. When they drop their child off, they know that we'll fight the immorality. We'll fight everything that could destroy that child. It's your job to serve them. Secretaries that work in the offices, your whole job is everybody else. Bus captain, your job is to serve that little five-year-old bus rider. That's your job. Deacons mixed up all over the country.
Well, we want our rightful place.
You check the Bible. It's very clear. There's no such thing as a deacon board in the Bible. You know what they were? Decent, godly men, and their job was to feed the fatherless and meet the need of the widow. We've got a good bunch of deacons around here. I'm an arrogant man in the bunch. Hey, what are you supposed to do? I fix your family this morning if you'd like. Every little boy and girl, you serve your mommy and daddy. Every teenager here, you serve your mama and serve your daddy. Every dad here, serve your wife and kids. Every mama here, serve your husband and your children. Every Sunday school teacher here, I did not make you a Sunday school teacher so you could show me your stuff. I made you a Sunday school teacher because there's a group of people that need somebody to serve them. I can't get it all done. But don't you misrepresent me. It's not all about you. You're going to teach Sunday school in this church for me and our Lord. Get on your hands and on your feet and get a pail of water and wash the people's feet and love them and serve them and meet their needs. Well, what do I get out of it? Oh, you'll be far happier in life. The most miserable people in this room today are the ones that spent most of their time on themselves, their car, their house, their money, their job, their clothes. Me, 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 me. And we're so me-oriented, we're having our nervous breakdowns. We're sick. We're mad at everybody. We hate life. We hate everybody. Get your eyes off yourself. There's somebody here. You may need to humble yourself and get saved today. Well, I don't want to. There it is again. You don't want to. How about you do it because it'd be good for your husband or for your wife? How about your kids? How about your kids? Your kids need a Christian mama, a Christian daddy. You're a teenager and you're not saved here today. Well, I really don't want to. Well, why don't you do it because it'd be good for one of your Christian, or it'd be good for one of your teenage friends? Why don't you do it because it'd be good for your mom and dad, and God knows some of your parents need a break. You could come for a cleansing to Calvary's Tide. I would love to have a church full of foot washers. Oh, we're not going to get a pail of water. We're not going to get a bowl, fill it with that water. I'm not going to ask us to wash one another's feet. But I'll promise you this. There are people in this room, if I ask you to come up here and publicly wash somebody else's foot, you'd be angry with me at the thought of your being belittled to such low stature. You saw the greatest part of this sermon earlier when the Father washed the Son's feet. The Heavenly Father, it's all about you to Him. You're the children. He sent His Son. Why? For God so loved the world. See, it was all about you. I hope you never forget it. I'll tell you how we won't have people get angry with each other this week. We're going to have a busy work around the church the next couple weeks, all the work. How are we just going to serve each other? Brother, could I help with that? You want me to shovel something? I want the megaphone! Jesus the foot washer. See, man and God are different. The way to get is to give. The way up is down. The way to increase is to decrease. The way to lead is to follow or to love our enemy. We follow that which we cannot see. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Giving is more important than receiving. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And he's about to die. And he says, all right. I couldn't retract, go feel sorry for myself, have a pity party. But I think I'll remind you all right before I die for you that we're to serve. Let's wash one another's feet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.